How important was it having Matt Robinson and Al Fisher in this game to get you that?
They're unbelievable players, and they helped us. You know, they won the game for us. We didn't do very well up front, and the penalties were killing us. So,
yeah.
You know, excited to have the win, but really disappointed in how we played.
I'm Dan Albano with the Orange County Register and OC Varsity, and I'm joined once again by our Tree League insider, Scott Barajas. We're going to be previewing this week's games for Friday, September 1st, and we're also going to hand out our grades for the season openers last week on August 25th. Scotty, how you doing? And it's a very big week coming up with the Tree League and one specific team in general, but how you doing before we get right into it?
I'm good. I'm just trying to stay cool in this heat, and I know everybody else is. It is going to be a big week. I think everybody's looking forward to this game, and I just hope that it lives up to its billing. So,
yeah, it's a pretty interesting week. All, you know, the Trinity League and teams throughout, you know, Southern California are probably adjusting their practice schedules. There's going to be, I talked to a couple teams today that are going to be practicing the evening and maybe even practice in the morning, but mostly teams are going to be practicing at night, and hopefully things cool off by the time Friday comes off. But the action's going to be extremely hot. We're talking about the modern day game on Friday, playing host to Bishop Gorman, pretty much a number one and number two matchup in the nation, according to some polls. So it's going to be a terrific game. Scotty and I are both going to be there, so we're going to have a lot of coverage from that game next week. The voice that we opened up the show with, that was Jay Sarah coach Pat Harlow. And Coach Harlow earned his first victory with the Lions last week in a 45-27 victory against Corona Del Mar, game that I covered for the Register. And Lions look pretty good. But like a lot of teams this year, have a lot of things to work on as well, but did a lot of good things right. And we'll be covering that in the course of our show. But as we've done in the last couple of years, Scotty, let's hand out our grades and take a brief look back at the week, the opening games. There was one big surprise I think we'll probably agree on with the result with St. John Bosco. And as we work our way through the course of the show, we're going to have some our players of the week for each team, and we're also going to have our previews for this week's games, led by an extended preview of the modern day Bishop Gorman game. But let's recap a little bit last week, Scotty. Let's start with that surprise, which was St. John Bosco, the defending Division I champions, defending Open champions in the state of California, went to Aquinas of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and lost in overtime 9-3. So very low scoring game. St. John Bosco had had high hopes for this game. They had gone early to prepare, and but obviously they struggled mightily on offense. What was your grade and thoughts on that on that opener for St. John Bosco?
Yeah, the grade is a good one offensively. I'm going to have to give them a D-.
Right.
You know, on offense, and I give them an A on defense. Starting with their offense, they lost to a great St. Thomas Aquinas defense that's totally filled with D1 recruits, you know, but the Brave offense just looked out of sync. They could never get on track. They did move the ball into the red zone on four possessions, but it could only come away with 3 points, including in the overtime game. Bosco struggles when you make them one dimensional, and that's what happened. You know, they couldn't get the running game going consistently, and then it makes their passing game non-existent. And Bosco needs to be balanced and efficient, for Real to be Real. And, he struggled. I think he threw 3 picks. I think Helani was probably their leading. I don't have the stats on Helani, but I think Helani was their leading rusher. I think Real ran off. I think he had 2 runs where he had 15-yard runs, and that was pretty much it. And then defensively, they played, as well as they could for defense. Led them with 2 sacks, and he was constant pressure on them all the time. St. Thomas was playing with their backup quarterback, actually. And yeah, the starter got put out last week, so that was tough on them. But the Braves rotated their defensive front seven, and they were fresh all night. And they held them to under total 100 yards of total offense. So and the Braves probably won't see a defense with that much speed this year.
It's a soldier the country.
You know, see some real good defensive units, but now teams have that blueprint to see what to do to disrupt that offense.
Yeah, you know, I was just trying to look up the stats on St. John Bosco. Yeah, they're not on Max Preps, but they had a third quarter field goal, and that was it. And Aquinas, you know, in regulation, just had a first quarter field goal, and that was it. You know, and it, you know, Scotty, are you alarmed with it? You know, because if you think about Bosco, I mean, they haven't lost many season openers, you know, in the last couple of years. It is a tough journey to go across country like that, but they have done a lot of traveling, but. You know, they've usually been pretty sharp in openers.
Yeah, they have. You know, that's what's kind of, you know, crazy. And we'll talk about another top-rated team that you know, had a so-so opener with their offense. But, you know, and sometimes I don't know if these teams are, you know, we've always talked about these teams being overworked during the summer.
Right.
Too much into it, and then by the time the season comes, they're already tired. You know, I thought about that the other day. I was trying to think about it, you know, but, you know, it is what it is, and you know, but you're also coming in and you're playing these national championship games right off the bat. So, you know, and you're playing against guys that have just as much speed as you do, and, you know, maybe your teams aren't up to, you know, offenses always seem to take more time to get in sync, and having to come in and play defense right off the bat. But it's Bosco, and you know everybody thought they would put up much more of a fight offensively, but it didn't happen. But one other thing to consider is that their offensive line is also new.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, and that's, you know, they lost, you know, the big three Daddy O's, and they replaced them with, you know, I think a couple of transfers, but those guys aren't high-profile guys, and so, you know, whether or not, you know, they're going to be, you know, get it done the rest of the year, you know, who knows, but that's pretty much what I saw as far as their, you know, their offensive goes, and you know, their running game couldn't get on track. I think Helani actually carried the ball more than Flowers did, but because Flowers is a big back, he was, you know, he was getting 2 yards, 3 yards. He could, he could cut. They were already on him. So, but you know, this week I think it'll be a whole different story. But we'll touch bases on that later. But that's, you know, what I got out of it. So, and it's early, and Bosco regrouped. But I know they, you know, they regrouped when they, you know, lost to Modern Day, and look what happened. So, I mean, good teams do that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch their offense, emerge throughout the year, because they play a great schedule, and they're not going to be challenged this week, but we'll get to see their offense again against another quality opponent. Because the thing of what I saw, or what I thought about when I saw the score, was, you know, I thought back, well, you know, the last time I saw St. John Bosco, which was at the Edison Passing Tournament, they also did not have a great offensive day that day either. And
exactly.
And that was a little concerning to me, so I'm wondering if there's going to be a trend. But it was a very tough opener. That was the first opener they've lost under Jason Negro, as far as I can remember. But again, a very difficult opener. But you know, we'll see how the Braves bounce back. You know, another game, a couple other games to touch on last week. I think the other game, you know, obviously it was a big game for Modern Day, opening up on the road against Bishop Amont. And I think the Monarchs answered some questions. You know, obviously, we'll get to your grades here in a second, but, you know, obviously JT Daniels' health was of pretty big concern. I think people were wondering how he was going to be doing, and how rusty was he going to be, you know, rested his arm during the summer, but came out pretty well. He didn't throw it a lot. He was 16 of 23 for 179 yards, one TD, and one interception. But Monarchs were pretty balanced, kind of like what you – well, actually, they were actually more – they ran the ball more than that. They ran it 34 times, and they passed it 23. So they were maybe in that 65-35 range, maybe 60-40 maybe in favor of the run. But they didn't. Their defense did pretty well and didn't allow any points, in this victory, 31-7, until 4 seconds left. But what were your grades for the Monarchs, Scotty?
I gave them a B- for offense, and of course defense they got the A. You know, I know a lot of people, including yourself, thought MB was going to pick up where they left off,
you know,
and air raid it, but that wasn't the case. You know, they chose to go more balanced. In fact, I mean, it was more underwhelming and workmanlike, less prolific. You know, they turned out, and like you said, I think over 180 yards. Well, I think I have different rushing yards, but I think but they pretty much ran, like you said, 34 times. They rushed the ball. They ate clock. They gained, yards in chunks, 4-7 yard chunk runs. But then defense, played stellar. They racked up 7 sacks, led by Andrew Folio, who had 3 of them.
Right.
Samuela, 2. Malimaka had 1. Nate Logaleo had 1. Sir Barnes had 1, and I think Funa had the other.
Yeah.
Was held to under 100 yards off total offense. And like you said, they scored on the last play of the game. Amat, you'll like this one. Amat's longest gain of the night was the scoop-up fumble by the center who rumbled down the sideline for 30 yards.
Wow.
And that's what set up the final score. So he gets sacked, and then the quarterback fumbles, and he scoops up and goes down to, the 5-yard line, and then they scored in the next play. So, that was pretty much, the game. It was just kind of like everybody always says, vanilla. It was a balance. It was like the old modern day, fullback. I said two tight ends, and just kind of run it. But we'll touch more on that later. But that was pretty much that game. They just came in, got the job done, and wanted to get JT just some work, and he looked a little off at times. His biggest play was actually a big run.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
34
yards, officially.
Yeah. And, but he, juked through the guys. He cut back, but he looked a lot faster. It was surprising. Everyone was shocked, but, and he had another scramble earlier in the game, too. So, and I don't think, you don't want to see him do that, but obviously he feels confident enough to do that when he has pressure or he sees an open field. But I wouldn't take that into consideration that he's going to be a dual threat now. But it was kind of shocking to see, so that he's improved that part of his game. So
now that was a tremendous run. He made a great cut, and he's got some good size, and he really. He really was charging upfield, and nobody could get to him. And then he did a nice wave to the fans in the end zone seats. So
the crazy student section, the rowdy student section. Yeah, it was all in good.
It was all
sportsmanlike. Some people say he would be, but it was all good fun.
Yeah, JT ran for 42 yards, and he was their second leading rusher. The Monarchs. For those scoring at home, rushed for 144 as a team. So, fine, like you said, workman-like performance. The game I saw, I think, was a pretty notable game. Jay Serra, defeated Corona Del Mar 45-27. Corona Del Mar and Jay Serra, both their offenses look superb in terms of their athletes and some of their design and schemes were very good. Neither team committed a turnover in this game. Jay Serra hurt itself with about 8 penalties for about 80 or 90 yards. So they were heavily penalized. They had a kickoff return nullified by for a touchdown. So they could have scored a few more points. They left some points, in their back pocket, and they still scored 45. Corona Del Mar is no slouch. Like I said, Corona Del Mar, no turnovers, very few penalties, and they have 2 of the best receivers in Orange County, and Tay Lee, and really the star receiver was John Humphreys, a sophomore. He was spectacular, but Matt Robinson for Jay Serra looked great. Threw it really very well. He's got those receivers. Tariq Luckett, who I know you're high on, Scotty, he looked really legit. As a junior, he's tall, runs good routes, catches everything. He's playing with a lot of confidence. He's a really good receiver. Mudar caught a deep pass, about 66. Mudar McLean, 66-yard TD. He looked outstanding. And a guy that you were high on, Al Fisher, is the real deal at running back. He's extremely quick. He gets his motor going very fast. He didn't necessarily have a lot of holes to run through. I think Jay Sarah's O-line did not really impose their will. But Fisher made some things happen, rushed for 101. For me, I think the big takeaway on Jay Sarah was, their defensive backs struggled, but they were against really good receivers, which they'll see in the Trinity League from some teams. But they struggled. But their defensive line with Abdul Malik McLean did all right. Their linebackers were okay. CDM's got a good running back in JT Murphy. But they gave, Jay Sarah still gave up 27 points. But what was your impressions and grades on this game?
Yeah, I gave the offense an A and the defense a B minus. What we already kind of knew that Algie Fisher was going to be solid and to go with Robinson's moxie, they were going to get it done. And, it seems that Jay Sarah had at times had their way with, CDM on offense. But were the Lions, were they ever tested? I know, defensively it looks like they're going to need to tighten up some of the reins, with the 27 points given up. But they got their stops when they needed it. And, like we were talking about the small defensive backs, it seemed like John Humphreys, who's 6'3", had his way, caught two TDs. It looked like he went over the top on both of them. And, we all know what looms in the Trinity League, just mentioned. So that's going to be their Achilles heel. Hopefully they'll, their pass rush will help them out, to help those secondary guys out with schemes and whatnot. But Jay Sarah's going to be right there, they may surprise, down the line. And it's early in the season, but, they're already, like we said last week, they're ahead of where they've been the last couple of seasons. So.
And I'll have to do a little bit more research on these guys, but Coach Harlow said they had a couple guys, a couple linemen that were out. And I'll have to check my notes exactly why they were out or if they were holdouts or whatever. But they might have had they had a few more guys that they could have played, and maybe that would have made a difference. One interesting note that our fans of our Trinity League podcast might be interested in. We talked about Jameel Henning, transfer from Buena Park. I wanted to share how, like I said, Al Fisher looked great. He was the most of the running back. They did not bring Henning in until the fourth quarter, kind of a, probably to give a little change of pace for Cronin Del Mar. And Fisher had done his thing. But Henning was played a lot of cornerback for them. And I think that's kind of revealing that, it shows that they knew they do need him at that position. And that's maybe, and I think you'll probably see Fisher there at cornerback as well. They're going to need all they're good athletes. They're going to have to play DB.
Right. I think everybody's doing that in the Trinity League. With those nickel and dime packages, they're putting the best athletes on the field.
Another victory. Like we said, everybody in the Trinity League won last week, except with the exception of St. John Bosco. But Servite went on the road, won 35-21 at Norco. Julius Irvin, senior safety, had three interceptions in that game for the Friars. So he had a great game. He was one of our candidates for OC Varsity Defensive Player of the Week. He didn't get it, but he was right there. But what was your what's your thoughts on Servite? Getting a fought for road victory. We'd known that. That Norco was okay. You had seen the scrimmage against Norco. They were okay. They kind of played Jay Sarah tough, but the pads went on, and the Friars got the W.
Yeah, their offense I give an A-, and their defense I gave them a B+. Servite put out its version of the CC, the Centennial, fast, tempo read option offense. didn't produce the same, you know, centennial-like numbers, but it was, they were solid, you know, led by T.J. McMahon, who threw for 245, and I think he ran for another 117. And then the Friars put a show on with numerous highlight-making plays. One was a 64-yard, you know, touchdown pass to DeLon Hurt, who broke three tackles, and then he made, like several tacklers miss on the way, you know, to the end zone. And that was, I mean, if you can look up that play, it was a great play. And then on defense, like we said, Julius Erving had three picks. And those three interceptions were not gimmies. He made plays on the ball on all of them. So, you know, that was, you know, his, you know, shows you what type of savvy he has. And I'm interested to see, you know, what he does when they play against, you know, the big time passing teams. And then defensively as well, they kept Norco's die in check, holding him to under 100 yards. And in the scrimmage, he ran all over Jay Sarah. So, you know, that was kind of, you know, kind of shocking, because they had their way with Jay Fick. Granted, it was a scrimmage, but right. And Cervyk wasn't supposed to have, you know, a stout defense up front, and, you know, they were, you know, led by pretty much their Joe Burress, the lineman, Joe Christensen, who had two sacks, and then we said, you know, Irvin. So, you know, it was a good win, because I don't think Cervyk's come out of the, you know, another team that hasn't come out of the gate, you know, well in the last few years, and they did here.
Yeah, one guy we talked about, I think he was your surprise, and I encourage everybody to check out our shows on archive. But I believe Scotty, if my notes are correct, that your surprise performer to watch or under the radar pick for Cervyk was Spencer Lytle, and he did have 10 total tackles against Norco, and that was team high. One kid that was interesting to me that I did not know much about, but was Jared Amasio, who is another linebacker. Christensen's a linebacker, but he had 7 tackles, and he's a sophomore.
He's a transfer from Orange Lutheran.
Okay.
So he came from Orange Lou. He was there. He came over as a. We didn't touch on a lot. And, you know, we touched on some, but just, you know, you threw that name out to me, and so it just reminded me.
Okay.
But yeah, he's a Olu transfer. So.
Actually, I think that's ringing a bell, because they, you know, Cervyk lost. You know, obviously lost a couple, two good guys to Orange Lutheran and Kyle Ford, and the Beast. The tight ends, whose name I'm blanking on right now, you'll remind me.
Yeah, they made Ethan Ray.
Ray.
You know, they did a baseball trade. You know, there's going to be a player to be named later. I think somebody else had wrote a story about that, and it was actually pretty good. It was kind of funny, but
yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know, because everybody's switching, you know, teams. So.
Well, let's talk about those Lancers then, as we wrap up our. We have two more games left in our review of the opening week of the season, 2017. We thank everybody for joining us on the Trinity League Football Podcast. I'm Dan Albano, and we're talking again with our insider, Scott Barajas, who's handing out grades. Orange Lutheran went on the, they were on the road, 35-0 against La Mirada. We previewed that we didn't think La Mirada was what they've been. They have had a coaching change. They don't have the same buzz around that program, same athletes. So we weren't surprised by this at all, were we, Scotty? 35-0 for Olu. How do you grade the Lancers?
No, you know, I give them a B. You know, some people are going to say 35-0 and they got a B. Well, you know, I have my reasons for that. Their defense was an A. They pitched the shutout. You know, La Mirada didn't really do anything with the ball. But, you know, that win, it doesn't come without some controversy. Because it's being said that Olu attempted like an onside kick with 1:36 left in the game, but apparently it was a bad squib that resulted, that looked like an onside kick with no recovery. But the reason why everybody was kind of talking and just about it is because, you know, last year Olu, I guess when they lost, there was some bad choice of words or you know, between the handshake when La Mirada upset Olu, and I guess that's where that came from. But also, Olu was still throwing the ball in the waning moments up until until, you know, they scored, you know, that last touchdown, you know, with you know, the minute 30 left on the clock. So, you know, you take it, you know, for what it's worth, where they wanted to maybe work on their offense. You know, it was, Olu did take a 21-0, you know, halftime lead, but they only managed one more score, which was late in the game, second half. And then they got the pick six by Joseph Forrest. For about 80 yards, it was a nice interception. You know, Olesky was 26 for 230 with three touchdowns. They scored on the very first play of the game with, when they took a screen pass, you know, JoJo Hawkins taking it like 70 yards. And then I think Kyle Ford had the had another TD. So it was like, again, it was sort of workmanlike, you know, and they didn't come out roaring, you know, Helinski was, you know, produced well. I don't know how the running game did or how many, you know, I don't have the stats on that, but just from what I saw, the performances, you know, Olu did, you know, solid. And that's why I said they get that, you know, the B rating. Helinski was probably his best throwing game. So, you know, and then, you know, they'll just build off of this, but, you know,
well, that's interesting. And that will be, those are, you know, good reporting on yourself to hear, you know, share some of that. And those will be the kind of things that, Trinity coaches, will be, monitoring with the Lancers. If any of those claims are indeed true, that's the kind of stuff that you got to be careful about, because some people will take note of that, and they might give it back to you. So you have to be careful. So we'll have to monitor how the Lancers are conducting their sportsmanship.
Yeah, he was quoted in the paper. You know, he was fired up for, you know, winning, but he was, you know, and kids are kids, and he basically wanted to, you know, just be, you know, he was saying they should lose, you know, they're Orange Luther, and they should be losing to teams like this. And I think it just kind of came off differently than what he was trying to say. But when those quotes get stuck in the paper, you know, they have a mind of its own and they go. So, but like you said, yeah, something just to keep an eye on. And, you know, this Trinity League is competitive and everybody wants to win and everybody wants to, you know, be right there. So we'll have to see.
Yep. All right. And the last game of the opening week was was Santa Margarita. The Eagles with another shutout themselves, 55-0 against Downey. The story for that game, before we get to Scotty's grades, Josiah Norwood threw four touchdowns in his first start with the Eagles. He's a transfer from Troy, dual threat quarterback, very good athlete. Has an offer from Army, among others. So he was a guy that we speculated. I wonder what they'll do with their offense. Well, they we talked a lot about what Santa Margarita might do. Well, Josiah threw it 27 times, and the Eagles ran it 31 times. So they were, you know, very balanced. And they gave Chad Magyar 12 carries for 113. He averaged, over 9 yards. A touch, had three touchdowns, and everybody else touched it a few times. Josiah, for people wondering, he had three carries for 25 yards. So, very balanced attack. You know, we talked a lot about their tight ends. Well, I mean, they didn't really, you know, none of those guys really racked up big catch, you know, receiving numbers. It was the guys that we talked about. Malone Metele had 5 catches, and Chad Magyar, 5 catches. Those are two great running back athletes that they can, you know, as good as anybody in the Trinity League, really, at running back position. So those were the offensive stars. But, Scotty, what do you have on your grades for the Eagles?
I gave them an A on offense and an A on defense. I mean, Downey was, you know, they were overmatched, you know, but, you know, Santa Margarita, you know, produced, you know, good numbers. You know, they were efficient in everything. He mixed it up. Multiple guys caught the ball. It wasn't just, you know, Norwood, and I mean, it wasn't Metelli, and it wasn't Magyar, even though the two backs combined for 10 of his 19 completions. They spread the ball around, and it was all, you know, efficient like. And, you know, and then Metele, once again, he dazzled with another kickoff return and a punt return for, you know, he didn't score, but both of them were for, you know, 52 yards and 40 yards, and I think he had another one that was on a call back on a penalty, so he lost some of the yardage, but he is a threat every time he touches the ball. I mean, I wonder, why do teams even, will they ever learn, you know, why did they even attempt to kick it to him? So, you know, that it's just, it was good for Santa Maria to build on. You know, they were one, you know, they're the team that everybody has kind of down on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great for them to, you know, because now it basically everybody is, you know, looks to be pretty much equal, you know, between that 3-6 rain, you know, teams look all pretty equal. So it's going to be some good games this year if everybody's, you know, producing. You know, again, their defense wasn't, you know, they didn't get really tested, but, you know, they didn't give up anything, so.
Yeah, so one of the guys that had a great game for them defensively is a guy that we talked about that we're high on is Caden Fitch. I think he had a double-digit total tackles. He had 10 total tackles to lead Santa Margarita. He had 8 solos. So Caden Fitch, senior middle linebacker, he was their high guy. They had a guy, another player, Sean Tooney, who was another senior, and he had 9 total tackles, so he was second, and he's also a linebacker. So two of their linebackers did well against Downey in that regard. So, well, Scotty, before we move on to this pretty exciting week schedule here for September, all the teams in the Trinity League except one play on Friday, September 1st. Bosco plays on Saturday, September 2nd. We'll talk about the showcase going down in Mission Viejo. But do you want to share some of your players of the week that you picked out in this opening week?
I'll start. We'll go with, you know, Bosco. I mean, obviously, offensively, they didn't really have anybody to showcase. Defensive player, I'd go with Cole Aubrey.
Right.
He was just all over the field. He was just pressure after pressure.
Good pick.
For modern day, my defensive player of the game is Andrew Folio. He had 3 sacks. You know, offensive player of the game, you know, Nico Regimio had 6 catches for like 98 yards.
Right.
He had one, you know, great over the back catch that he made. You know, but pretty much Andrew probably got, you know, the overall player for that.
Yeah, and officially they had Nico, the Cal commit, Modern Day had him 7 catches for 99 yards, and Brew McCoy came in second, 6 for 60 with 1 TD. But I think Nico's a good pick there.
See, Servi, I'm going to go with TJ McMahon for offense, and defense, Julius Serving.
Yeah.
And Olu, I went with Helinski, and defense, I went with Joseph Forrest. And
yeah.
Santa Margarita, I went with Chad Magar for having the balance, and defense, Caden Fitch for leading him in the tackles.
Okay. And I can handle the Jay Sarah. You know, I think I'd probably give it to Matt Robinson, who threw for 340 yards, 2 TDs, managed it very well. So he'll, you know, no turnovers. He was nearly intercepted once. I think it might have been Humphreys, almost got him. But he was pretty much very accurate. Long on a couple, but you know, he hit through some nice touch. I'd say better touch on his long ball. Plenty of zip on his throws. And defensively, I would go with Abdul Malik. McLean he was pushing, I think about 2 sacks, a good tackle for loss. He's very disruptive. He had a penalty or so. I know he had one pretty costly penalty on maybe a little late extra, you know, play after the whistle, or that was a little costly, but you know, they got some stuff to work on with Jay Sarah, as we mentioned, with the penalties. But I thought he looked better, the improved from last year when he played at Santa Margarita. That's the UCLA commit. Well, let's look at the schedule, and we will we'll start with the games on Friday. These are all games September 1st. And we'll touch on them. We're going to have an extended preview on our last game for Friday. We'll talk about, which is Modern Day against Bishop Gorman. That's at St. Anna Stadium. And that game is a 7:30 start, as I understand now. And that game is also on Prime Ticket. But let's start up at the top. Orange Lutheran is going down to San Diego, taking on Cathedral Catholic. Pretty good team out of San Diego. How do you see this game, Scotty?
Cathedral's 0-1. You know, they lost to the state's 27th-ranked Del Oro, 22-12. And Cathedral's, you know, San Diego's Division One,
right?
And they're the number two team, but that may change after their loss. But the Dons, they're usually the top-rated team in that San Diego section. You know, they're leaning on a 10-0 JV team. You know, they only return three starters on each side of the ball. You know, so I still look for Olu, you know, keeping their winning ways, and you know, going 2-0.
Yeah, that Del Oro is a pretty good program. You know, I think OC fans are starting to get to know Del Oro, so I think that's not a bad result. I think it will be a much tougher game for Lancers this week compared to last week. Del Oro is a team that San Clemente beat last year in the state championship game, and they've been kind of a rising program from Northern California. So Del Oro is actually part of they're going to be down in Southern California at the Mission Viejo Brothers in Arms showcase over the weekend as well. So not a bad, you know, that's a quality team that Cathedral's facing there in Del Oro. They get a lot of transfers, and they're kind of a magnet school up there in their neck of the woods in Northern California. So should be an interesting game. But you think Olu can get that victory?
You know, I mean, without, based off of what I, you know, recall and what I've, you know on Cathedral and not having a whole lot of coming back, you know, I'm going to go with the Lancers. I wouldn't be surprised if Cathedral maybe squeaked one by. You know, if you know, the one thing I guess is concerning is that Olu didn't really dominate La Mirada. I mean, they were efficient, but they didn't come roaring out with the La Mirada team that didn't have anything coming back. So that may be you know, their concern, but being that Olu has all those weapons and skills, you know, we'll see if they can put them to use.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe close, but I'm going to go with the Lancers.
All right. Another, you know, like we said, this is a pretty interesting week. That's a pretty good game right there to start with. It's got another exciting game in the Trinity League. It's going to be big for Jay Serra. Jay Serra Lions are playing their first home game at their kind of refurbished and, newly formed home football stadium. It's going to be their first game on campus, and they are playing host to Alamany. And Alamany is 1-0. I think they beat San Fernando, if I'm not mistaken. But Alamany is pretty highly regarded. You know, they were a good team in a good league, in the Mission League. They struggled in the Mission League last year, but this was an overtime game last year that Jay Serra won 28-27. And I think a lot of people are looking at this game as kind of a litmus test on how good Alamany is. But Coach Harlow really challenged his team after their Corona Del Mar game, thought that they needed to do a lot of things better. And I'm sure that the Lions are not having an easy week of practice. What's your read on this game, Scotty? Alamany opening, you know, Jay Serra trying to get the win at their first game on the new field.
Yeah, that'll create some excitement, for the community over there. And, you know, the Mission League foe, you know, they're known for having some pretty good recruitable players, but this year they don't seem to have anyone highly recruited. They do have a three-star safety, Elijah Doyle, and a two-star corner, Steve McIntosh. But other than that, I mean, they have Tripp Mitchell as a sophomore quarterback, and he looks pretty athletic, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do.
Okay.
They come into the season as the 17th out of 18th team in the Division One, so they're at that, you know, the bottom cusp.
Right.
They're projected to be finished 3-7 on the year. So, you know, I don't see Jay Serra having much trouble with Alamany, you know, based on what we've seen the last 2 weeks of Jay Serra. It's just, again, shoring up that defense and doing what they do best and with their balance.
Yep. Now, another Trinity League team that's going to be, playing a Mission League team, and that's going to be Loyola. And they're going to be home, playing host to Santa Margarita. And you know, Loyola's 1-0. They took care of Fairfax last week. We don't hear much about Fairfax too much. Loyola won 52-7 last week. Last year, I remember Santa Margarita had one of their better games against Loyola. I can see Santa Margarita doing pretty well in this game as well. Last year, it was Santa Margarita won 37-7. What do you think? I mean, you think the Eagles can go on the road and kind of repeat that again this year?
I believe so. You know, Loyola, they actually, you know, we talked about Alamany being the 17th ranked. Loyola is the 18th ranked, you know, team in Division One. So that's the last, you know, team of the D1s. And, and the highlight of the game is going to, you know, of last week was actually Loyola started a freshman quarterback.
Oh.
By the name of Miller Moss. And he's actually, I guess, the second, we were saying he's the second freshman in the Cup history to start at QB. I guess there was another freshman in the 50s that you know, played. But here's an interesting tidbit, you know, and most people will say big deal, who cares, but Miller Moss played with modern day's passing team, the 4-vert team, that it's the incoming ninth graders that play. He played on the modern day team that led the team to the title game during the summer. So, you know, and it would be interesting to see how he does, you know, against a Trinity League team.
Okay.
But, you know, Santa Margarita is vastly, you know, different than the LA City, you know, Fairfax. So, I think Santa Margarita comes away with the win. So, but it will be interesting to see how the freshman quarterback does against them. You know, he was in a thing. I think there was a 3-man race for that spot, and they ended up going with him. So
okay. Oh, interesting. All right, did not know that. Well, good one there for us, Scotty, pulling out the knowledge. Last one on Friday night before we get to the big one, but it's going to be American Fort, Utah, taking on Servite. This is part of the Brothers in Arms Showcase, which is a three-day showcase down that the Mission Viejo Diablos host. It goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is a 5:00 game at Mission Viejo High School on Friday. A 5:00 start for Servite. Friars are taking on this American Fort team from Utah. I think they're about 7th or 8th ranked in their state of Utah. I think they're 1-1 on the year. So they've been pretty solid. I think the game they lost was pretty close in-state game. But seems like a solid opponent. I don't know if they're, as good as, they might be a little bit better than Norco. 5:00 start. Could still be pretty warm on Friday. What do you think about this game for the Friars?
Yeah, I mean, American Fork, you know, they've come out here before. I think it was 10 years ago. I think the Barkley era, they played modern day out here. And I think, you know, they're the state's, Utah's number 12th ranked team.
Okay.
To open the season. And they have a 54-39 win over Weber. And then last week they lost 34-33 to Tempview.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they seem like they've scored. They look like they score a lot of points. It looks like they give up a lot of points. So it may be an interesting game. But they have, you know, this is their third game, you know, so they have two games under their belt. And so that makes, you know, for interesting in itself. So, you know, it's hard to kind of gauge these out-of-state teams that are, you know, that are more under the radar than so these more national, you know, teams. So,
exactly. They, you know, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, they have scored a lot of points. Their quarterback is Bronson Barron, who is a 6'3", 210 senior, and has had some good games. He's actually had two great games. In the opener against Weber, he threw for 374 yards, 4 TDs, and a pick. Last week, he said against Tempview, who I think is part of the showcase out here as well. I think they're on the schedule as well. But he threw 47 times for 382 yards, 3 TDs, but 3 picks. So they're obviously throwing the ball a lot,
throwing the ball around. Tim View is, this week is ranked fourth in the state of Utah. So, it probably is a tougher game, and it'll be interesting to see how Servite's defense, if they can, kind of put the clamps on another opponent. The power in Utah is, of course, Bingham. They've kind of been the power for a few years now, as long as I remember. So I think it's going to be a pretty tough game for Friars.
Yeah, if I recall, American Fork, even back in 2004 or 5 when they came out to play MD, they were a solid team back then. So they just probably haven't been on the map. But for them to come, they shouldn't be a slouch, coming to be invited to these showcases. So
yeah. All right, now the big game of the week, one we've been waiting for a long time. Modern Day, number one Orange County, number one in the nation's taking on number two Bishop Gorman out of Las Vegas, undefeated. They're actually, last year they're number two in the nation by Max Preps. They are riding a 55-game winning streak, which is the second longest active streak in the United States. They, interestingly enough, is for all the credentials they have, they're a high-profile, glitzy program, play real physical. They have a first-year starting quarterback, Dorian Thompson Richardson. His nickname is DTR, UCLA commit. Dual threat. He's a first-year starter because he's been backing up Tate Martell, who's now at Ohio State. And I saw Dorian's highlights last week. They did a pretty good job and beat DeMatha, a nationally ranked team out of Maryland. Dorian's a fired up guy. He looks, a very good athlete. Had good zip on his passes. Very athletic, and he was playing with a lot of energy. And he was, excitable type of leader. And they got some speed at receiver. But Scotty, what's your read on this game? Where, maybe we're going to see. I assume we're going to see Amon-Ra St. Brown, C.J. Parks. This is a big one for modern day. Bishop Amont is over. Their next week they play La Mirada. I feel like this game is right between those two, and modern day is going to give everything they got to win this game. They've never played Gorman before. This is a big spot, and modern day is at home. I think they're going to let it rip with in this game.
Yeah, we just, like I said, when I opened up the show, we all hope the game, lives up to its billing, and I say that because, if MD chooses to play, this new way of offense, they may be playing into Gorman's hands, and I'm probably going to get a lot of flack from the MD people, but, Gorman is Gorman. Gorman is good, but they are not the same Gorman of the past 3 years. So, new faces have emerged on both sides of the ball. You touched on quarterback Dorian Thompson Robinson. He takes over, QB. He was a starting receiver last year.
Right.
He is a dual threat. And his favorite target is Arizona State commit Speedy Naylor, who actually played his youth ball in California. So he's actually a Californian, and he chose to go play his high school ball at Gorman. And then, on defense, they are small but very quick. And I'm speaking, linebackers, with the exception of a few guys, but their secondary is very small. Both starting corners go 5'8", 5'10", and one of the starting corners is a former Monarch, Noah Lopez, who played his freshman year at Modern Day. And he's over there, so he's starting at one corner. Gorman's stud defensive leaders are, their middle linebacker, Pele Goa. I'm going to butcher this one. Goa Tate. He's a USC commit. They have defensive end Adam Plant. He's an Arizona commit. Then they have another defensive end, Falcon Kuamaya Tule. And get this, Plant and Kuamatele are both booking DNs who go 6'5 and 6'8. So, those two guys in the end, are going to either bat passes down, or you're going to have to get the ball over them, which is going to be interesting, And then speaking about passing, DeMatha, who didn't have a solid passing game, but they, when they did complete the ball, they moved the ball on Gorman, but they just couldn't sustain drives effectively to hurt Gorman. And then when they had a super sophomore running back and he got hurt, and when he got hurt, their offense kind of went downhill and they couldn't run the ball, you know, effectively. You know, but if I would say this, if modern day plays offense like they did last week, I don't see, you know, modern day snapping that 55-game winning streak. You know, defensively, you know, they're going to need to contain Robinson and Miami commit their tight end, Brevin Jordan, who's probably, that's the key to the game, those two guys. You know, Brevin is a big-time tight end. He goes about 6'3", 240, but he can move, and it's going to be interesting to see who matches up with him and how they utilize him. But you know, Modern Day has the linebackers this year to do that, so we'll have to see. You know, but I'm sure Modern Day knows, you know, going in, you know, it's going to take more than a workman-like offense to take down, you know, one of the nation's longest, you know, winning streaks. You know, if Modern Day gets back to their air raid, you know, with shades of the run game, they win. You know, if MD goes more balanced and tries to slow the pace, I think Gorman pulls it out in a close one.
And why do you think that's, because you think that's more of Gorman's style?
No, meaning Gorman's style as in.
Well, why do you think it hurts the Modern Day to run the ball so much or be a little bit more conservative?
Because last week they just didn't seem very. It was against Bishop Amott. Gorman right. is not Amott.
Yeah.
It was very workmanlike. You know, the offensive line didn't get a lot of push. They, you know, it was 4-7, 4-3. They never broke anything longer than 15. It was just vanilla. You know, it was just odd. You know, because everybody's like, okay, well, yeah, Modern Day wants to run the ball, but it wasn't like they didn't, you know, go, you know, the read option and then spread it out and have running lanes for the backs. You know, they chose to go two tight ends and a fullback, you know, and just kind of just eat the clock and then win it with their defense. And that's what they want to choose to do. You know, I guess as fans, you know, everybody's kind of spoiled because we got to see the air show and they just mowed people down. You know, obviously they didn't have Amon-Ra and they didn't have CJ, but you know, those two are expected back. So we'll have to see if they come back, you know, and that definitely changes the look because that's my take with if they choose to do that running a style, but it that's just the take, and you know people say, well, who are you to say that, you know, but that's just my take. So
no, and I think and I can see it too. I mean, maybe because it looks like that, I know, watch the Dorian highlights. He had some, they had some explosive plays, and maybe they have, and Modern Day is going to have to match some of that big play, which they're certainly capable of, because you mentioned Naylor, right? I mean, he had a 68-yard play in that. He had a very long play. This another receiver, or it might be a running back, Tillman, is very fast. I know he had a 30-some-odd yard play, and so did Tellus. I think it was another receiver, had a 30-yard play. So I think they had at least three plays, two 30-yard plays and a 68-yard play. So they didn't break that kind of runs, but they had some long pass plays, and maybe they have some firepower that Modern Day needs to contend with.
Yeah, like I said, they're small but quick. You know, all those guys, you know, they, other than the tight end, you know, all their skill guys, the receivers are all, even the running back, they're all 5'11 and smaller. So, if you get Dorian, if he gets outside the pocket, he can either make plays, if he break down, he can hit the guys down the field, which I think that's what he did on a couple of those plays to they almost become broken plays, and he hits the receiver downfield when the DB decides to come up, yeah, or gets lost, you know, trying to, you know, break it down to stop his scramble.
Yeah.
So.
Well, one of the story ideas that I'm kind of interested to do and maybe explore this week with my, you know, coverage of Modern Day is, you know, maybe, you know, what this game and this opportunity represents for that Modern Day offensive line, you know, with so many guys back and the personnel they have on that team, you know, are we going to see a dominant offensive line for Modern Day? You know, will they hearken back to some of the you know, when they it's been a long time since they won a section championship, you know, and they've had some brutally tough offensive lines. You know, are they going to head back a little bit in that direction, which is would be surprising to me. Gorman's going to have to – that's the kind of team that you're going to have to really it's going to be physical in the trenches. And is Mater Dei looking at their offensive line as a big opportunity to impose their will? That's a storyline for me. I wonder how that young secondary is going to do against DTR. I wonder if DTR is going to be running or how they're going to do against these quick receivers. There's no retreating starters in the secondary for Mater Dei. And I also wonder about those high-profile Mater Dei receivers that are so ultra-talented. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown's the best receiver in this game. Is he going to take it over? C.J. Parks might be the second-best receiver in this game. Is he going to take it over? You know, Brew McCoy's on the rise. I mean, this is a – I feel like it could be a statement game for SoCal, and specifically these SoCal receivers this is our year. And we're gonna oppose it. You know, I would throw Nico in there as well. So that could be interesting, like you said. But that's what you're kind of calling for too. That air raid situation. But I think there's a lot of pride in that that receiving group, and this is a great chance for them to show it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like the story with the line because that is true. Because they do have those two defensive linemen. And whether or not, you know, if they, you know, if those two guys get pushed, you know, then that's going to disrupt everything. So, you know, and Rollo will tell you that it's got to start there. They have to win in the trenches. Whether or not they want to run the ball or they want to pass, you know, pass pro, pass protection, it's going to have to start there. And you know, we'll just have to, you know, wait and see. It's going to be fun, you know, having to, you know, it's like trying to match up all these X's and O's and matchups and, you know, if who's going to play where, who, you know, whether or not, you know, who's going to have the big game, and like Rollo always says, in these big games, there's always a player that always makes a big play, you know, so there's, that as well. And the other thing about Gorman is that in games I've seen Gorman have been down, They've always come back in the second half. In that, against Bosco, Bosco had him on the ropes. And I think last year, when they were playing, St. Thomas Aquinas, they were down. And they just know, again, it's all pretty much all new guys, but it's the program, it's the coaching staff, this is reminiscent of the De La Salle days in the back in the 98s when Mater Dei played De La Salle, and De La Salle had that winning streak and they came down and Mater Dei had the best team in a long time to snap it, and there was two plays, third and 32, where Akari Collin runs a trap on that third down and he gets the first down and that touchdown, and that winds up being the difference in the ball game, and everybody in Mater Dei lore knows third and 32 in that game. And that ended up being the difference in that 28-21 game, and that this could be, and everyone's kind of feeling that same thing, and that it has that lore to it. So, we'll see, is that the same De La Salle mystique that, does Gorman have that same, that same mystique that comes with it? But those, and those who have followed football long enough understand what I'm talking about. Those who don't followed it that long enough to understand that analogy between the modern day De La Salle of 98 in this game. So,
well, it's really an opportunity for Mater Dei. If that's true, and I believe it is true, Scotty, what you're saying, this is quite an opportunity for Mater Dei to stamp its legacy and really show its cards for what it's about this year. Are they gonna, what kind of group? Obviously it's a long year. They still have Bergen in a couple weeks is looking like a pretty darn good opponent as well. We know the Trinity League's there. But Mater Dei's, they're about winning the CIF championship this year in Division I. They feel like this is their,
it's kind of CIF or bust for them. And the last time they were in a really big game, that was last early December at Angel Stadium, and they had a tough go. And they had it, you know, so this is, the lights are going to be back on there at home. But who do you think there's more pressure on? I think Gorman doesn't blink. Like, we play a national schedule, we come back on people. We've been beating Bosco. So we won 15-5. We don't feel the pressure. But then again, I don't know how much pressure is it really on modern day. But they're ranked number one. But they're at home. I mean, do you think modern day is at all feeling pressure by this game? Because I don't really think Gorman's going to be pressured by it at all.
You know, that it's interesting because of the fact that, you know, it is Gorman and it has national implications, but it's not the end-all be-all, which is obviously the CIF championship.
Right.
But yes, this is a big step in that road. You know, you want to come out on top, but, you know, if for instance, if guys aren't healthy, you know, do you play them just to play this game because it's a national spotlight? You know, you want to be in, you know, that's where sometimes these things have to be, you know, taken into consideration.
Sure.
So that's why we are, you know, wondering, does Amon-Ra and CJ, you know, do they come back for this game? You know, apparently we were told that they are, but that was last week. So, and you look at Bosco. Bosco's going to say, you know, the Santa, we're talking modern day here, but they're going to say the same thing when they play these national championship games. And I mean, these national, you know, games that are like national championship games because they have these, you know, mythical implications, you know, and they'll tell you, you know, that it's nice, you know, once we lose them, okay, now it's on, it's behind us, now we're moving on to what we, you know, and that's what they've done well. You know, they've lost, you know, one or two early on, and they've come on and planted their seed, and look where they are, you know, it's
exactly.
Yes, it's nice to win these out-of-state games, and that's the thing that everybody's talking about, is that California hasn't done well in these out-of-state games, you know, they've come oh so close. You know, and everybody talks about the Trinity League being, you know, the best league, but yet these out-of-state games, they haven't fared, you know, too well. So it does have, you know, that mystique with it. But, you know, I think, you know, in the long run, you have to, you know, look at it and say, hey, what do we get out of this?
Yeah.
You know, is it, are we putting all our eggs in one basket for this game? Are we gonna show our cards, you know, or do we have a special package for this game, or are we just gonna do what we decided to do at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question, you know, we ask, you know, what I wonder with modern day, and that's why I say if they choose to do that, you know, it didn't look as formidable as they were last year. So if you follow my drift in that long-winded answer.
No, I gotcha. And, you know, modern day is still looking at, you know, probably playing Bosco twice. And teams like Bishop Gorman don't have to worry about their in-state winning their section title. I mean, these are their games. And it probably helps them a lot. You know, these are their big games. And later in the year, they cruise in the playoffs in their own state. So, speaking of those Braves, and I think this is a good way to end the show here on this particular game. But we also have St. John Bosco playing Garces of Bakersfield down at on Saturday night. But anything to say about this game down at the Brothers in Arms Showcase?
Garces, they're 0-1. They're coming off a 23-14 loss against Bakersfield Christian, and they are coached by former Servite head coach AJ Gass, who was he was 7-4 last season. So, you know, on paper, this looks like a mismatch. You know, I can't see Bosco having trouble. They're probably going to get after it, especially, you know, taking it out after last week's loss. So they have a lot of stuff that they probably want to work on. So, you know, Bosco's going to win this in usual Bosco fashion big. So
I agree with you there, Scotty, for sure. So, well, yeah, I want to thank Scotty Barras for all that work on the Trinity League Football Podcast. Scotty, we will enjoy the week getting ready for the modern day game, and I will see you at Santa Ana Stadium.
All righty, Dan.
Dan, look forward to it.
It's going to be a great game, and thank you for everyone, all the fans joining us on another Tree League Football Podcast.